What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 21 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We're hanging out, talk about tech, talk about what's going on in the tech world, especially when it comes to computer hardware. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, that helps us out a little bit and kind of keeps this podcast going. With me, as always, I have Derek. How's it going, Derek? You went for a bike ride this morning.
Yeah, what's up, Bob? Yeah, a little bike ride, you know, Friday spin, race tomorrow.
Yeah, if you have, I guess you guys haven't seen, but Derek got these professional photos taken of him in his racing gear. It looks pretty badass, actually.
And Bob made fun of me, of course.
No, because the one picture, you look really emo.
Bob, I just have a lot of emotions. Give me a break, man.
But, We should post this on the site. I should make that picture your Think Computer staff picture instead of the one that's up there.
We should
change it. But no, he's gotten really into biking over the year. What do you call it? Cycling? What's the term that you use?
It's cycling.
Yeah, he's gotten really into cycling over the past year and a half, I guess.
Yeah, two and a half.
And now you're doing races like every weekend?
Almost every weekend, yeah.
That's good. It probably keeps you in shape. I need to do that.
That's the whole reason.
Yeah, I wish I had the time. I wish I had that type of time. But
No.
But anyways, let's just jump into the reviews we did this week. We had some pretty awesome reviews. Some of the coolest products that I've checked out this year. And the first one is the ASRock X99E ITX AC motherboard. And what makes this motherboard so special is that it is the only, I'm pretty sure, still, it's the only X99 motherboard that is in the mini ITX form factor, which is really impressive because the actual CPU socket on the board takes up a good 30% at least
on the massive board.
So it's compact, but it's crazy that it's in this small form factor. That means you can do so much with it because even if it's not going to be gaming, which gaming could be an awesome system for this, but if you wanted to do like a little encoding machine or something like that where you have the power of a Haswell E processor, this motherboard is just perfect for that. It's just so tiny. The thing is a lot of times when you see boards like this, they kind of skimp on the features. This has everything that you would want: USB 3.0, SATA Express, M.2, all those latest features, dual gigabit Ethernet, 802.11 AC Wi-Fi, as well as Bluetooth, all in this compact package. It's just really, really awesome. The only downside is, one, you're limited to dual channel memory instead of quad channel that you would typically get on the X99 platform. And two is that the included cooler, you have to use a proprietary cooler. That included cooler is extremely loud. Now, they do include a water cooling bracket that works with a lot of different water coolers. They really need to update the compatibility list on their website. Because on the website, it only lists two Cooler Master all-in-one water cooling systems. But I was looking around because I was like, really, only those two? But it works with a lot of Corsair coolers as well and some other ones.
I had saw that somewhere that it actually does work with a fair number of coolers that adapter.
I wish they would update the website to, like, you know, so you can kind of have more of a choice. But it works with an AIO, and it would be fine with an AIO. But the included cooler, one, it works just fine if you're running your chip at stock settings. But if you're doing any overclocking, especially with Haswell E, you need something else. We really weren't able to really run any overclocking benchmarks or anything because it just wasn't stable.
It overheated.
Yeah, it was overheating. I was like just watching the temperature go up. I'm like, okay, stop benchmark. I don't want to like burn out my $1,000 processor on this. So that's the issue with this. And what's crazy is that's what stops overclocking. The board itself has the exact same power delivery components as ASRock's full-size motherboards.
Really?
So that's not – like, you're not going to have an issue overclocking. It's just the cooling is what's going to stop your overclocking. But everything else was completely stable. It's just like – it's crazy that they did this. Just the engineering and how they were able to fit everything on the board is just – it's just awesome.
It's probably a nightmare for the, like, configuration guys.
Yeah, they're like, oh, how do we do this and all of that?
you want all the features?
Yeah. That's what's crazy. It's like I said, you do have, like, if you think about the X99 platform and what it brings to the table, the newer things, of course, we've seen USB 3.0 for a while, but then there's SATA Express, and you also have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on this board. So it's just awesome. Again, you could make it for an encoding machine, a very powerful, small little desktop if you wanted. And then there's the whole gaming route, too, because it has a PCI Express 3.0 X16 slot on it. So you can, you know, what is 980 Ti is the most powerful single slot card, right? I'm pretty sure.
Titan. Single slot? A Titan X.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could throw a Titan X in there, and then this thing is just an ultimate LAN machine.
You know. I see this being, like, mostly useful. I mean, obviously for gaming, it'll work, but I think there's more options for gaming, right? Especially with just a single card. But I see this more as, like, a professional thing, like somebody that's got, like, a mobile computing needs, but like they need serious like processing power.
Yeah, like this is
perfect for that.
Encoding or something along those lines. And what's great about it too is that not only does it support Haswell E, but it supports Intel Xeon processors as well. So if you're doing a lot of number crunching or something like that with a Xeon processor, supports that. It supports ECC memory as well. So you have all that. It's really well put together. When I got it, I thought, oh, this is going to be a bitch to review. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? And it's not going to have all the features. It's just like, it's a fully featured board, extremely small. Again, the only thing that holds it back is the included cooling system that they have with it.
RAM limitations.
Yeah, the RAM limitation. But if you're going to be spending the money on this type of board and Haswell E, spending another $100 probably on an AIO is going to be totally worth it for this.
Yeah, see that for sure.
Yeah, just a sick board. You know, it's not often that you review something, you're like, wow, this is just put together so well, and this is exactly what that is. I mean, it's really cool like that. So
it's cool to see. Cool to see from ASRock.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, really, really like that. So, yeah, definitely check out the review. I have a full unboxing video and all that kind of stuff on the review as well. So definitely check that out. And our second review this week was a graphics card, which we haven't reviewed in a while. So I took a look at the Asus Strix GeForce GTX 970. This is their take on a GTX 970. And it's really cool. They've kind of really started to build their Strix brand, which is more or less a replacement to their DirectCU brand that they had out for a while.
Right.
So Strix cards are really cool. They all have the same design. And they've added a lot of cool features into the Strix brand. One of them on the cooling system is their 0dB fan technology, which is kind of weird the first time you actually, especially
you think you got a bad chip or a bad card.
We're testing in a test bench, so it's all open, you know, so we can see the card and everything. And, you know, during idle and even during some light gaming, the fans don't spin up at all, which is very, very weird. If you're
that's totally weird.
Yeah, you're just like, is the card on? Is this working? Is it going to overheat? You know, it's very, very cool. And not only does it keep the sound down, but it uses less power, obviously, because there's no power going to the fans when they're not on, obviously. So it's just a very cool feature. This card is slightly overclocked. It's not the highest clock GTX 970, but if you're looking for something that's quiet, it does a good job. Asus did their own custom PCB on here, custom power delivery system. They changed the power connection from two 6 pins to a single 8-pin. So it's just easier to, you know, with cabling and all that. They've done a really great job on this card.
Did they reduce the overclocking abilities of it by doing that, though?
No. No, okay. They didn't. It's just the way... Just for less cable clutter, more
just
or less.
Just a more optimized power delivery.
Yeah. So it's just a really... really solid card. I can't really say anything bad about it because it's just, you know what I mean, they set out to do something with this card and they did it. Nice. Cooling's great. Again, even without the fans, the cooling system works really, really well. The heat pipes make direct contact with the GPU. Everything stays nice and cool. It's just a good overall card, and one that I definitely would recommend if you're looking for a GTX 970. And it's perfect for like a steam machine, something in the living room too, because again, the card, even when the fans spin up, it's not loud at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have something that's going to be sitting in your living room, you don't want to make a whole lot of noise. This could be definitely the card for that. And it's going to play all of the games, 1080p up to probably 1440p. 4K is really pushing it. This isn't really a 4K card, I would say, but you can play.
How much memory does it come with?
4 gigs.
4 gigs, so it's right on the borderline of...
Yeah, so I would say this is the perfect card for 1440p gaming. If you're going to get into 4K, I would, you know, go up a notch to the 980, 980 Ti.
Nice.
But this is just still a great overall card. Asus has done a really great job on it. And like I said, definitely one that I would recommend if you're looking for a GTX 970.
Good to know.
So definitely check out that review. And our final review of the week is a new case from NZXT. It is their Noctis 450 mid-tower. One thing that I've really realized about NZXT is they always, like, every case they do, it's always something different as far as, like, the internals or the externals or something. It's always, like, you've reviewed cases, and obviously you follow case reviews. Uh-huh. Like, you'll see a company come out with, like, three different cases, and the internals are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. NZXT always changes things around or adds things or makes things better.
Yeah, they make it so that you, like, can really differentiate and pick between one or the other.
Or it's just, like
which one is actually better for you.
Or just, like, they develop something, and they're like, okay, yeah, it's going in the next case. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, every time they release a new case, it's something new. They add something, whether it's just whatever it may be, they added into their series of cases. And so this is their latest one. Very good price point on it, I think, is $139, which I feel fits very well with this case. It's kind of like a blend, I would say, of like the Phantom series and maybe like their Silent series as well. It looks really, really good.
Yeah, it's a new interesting design, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong with like a white case. I love white cases.
Yeah, I had a white Phantom as, like, my first real case.
Yeah.
First case I modded, and, like, I loved that thing.
Yeah, so it's just a good overall case. And NZXT also does a really good job of, you know, including enough fans and making everything really easy to kind of build in and everything like that.
Yeah, it's easy to get into it when you buy an NZXT case. They don't give you any trouble. Everything that's toolless pretty much is toolless, and... And then there's nothing like that you're going to like be building and go, oh, I wish I had this or that, or this could be easier. NZXT's probably built it into their design.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always liked about NZXT, especially over the past few years, is they've really made improvements to their cases for builders and for modders and all of that. So yeah, it's just, like I said, just a good overall case. They've still kept the thing where there's no optical drive, which I like.
Yeah.
That leaves a lot more room for storage.
Past that.
Yeah.
And it looks like the storage can all come out, and you can put radiators there.
Yep.
And you got... I like the PSU shroud, and then the solid-state drive mounts on top of it. A lot of people are, like... A lot of modders do that, you know? And this is, like... It's not going to look as sleek as a modded version, but it's going to look really good.
Yeah, it does look... I reviewed their H440 a while ago, and, yeah, that was one of the first cases that had that.
Okay.
And, yeah, it just looks awesome. I have to say, it just looks pretty badass.
Yep.
So
all the best like wire routing and stuff is available.
Yeah.
Cable routing.
Yeah, so good overall case. Definitely check out the review of that as well. One of the cases that I definitely recommend. I guess what is it, summer for the summertime?
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely.
Does it come pre-lit underneath like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome too.
So the NZXT logo lights up, there's lighting under it, and then there's they also done one really cool thing is that they put a little LED on the IO ports on the back.
Okay.
So you know, you ever feel like, you know, you have a PC under the desk, or especially like at a LAN party or something where there's not a whole lot of light and you're trying to connect a connector or something like that.
Yeah. Trying to jam a USB into a FireWire or something.
Yeah, or something like that. They have a little LED there and you can turn it off or on if you want.
That's cool.
They added that, I think, like maybe 2 years ago, they started adding that to all their cases. So it's just, again, it's just like little things like that that you don't think of that, like, most case manufacturers don't put in their cases that they do. So,
yep. Another solid NZXT case.
Yep, for sure. So check out that review, and we'll move on to the other stuff we kind of did this week. The first thing is I did a little blog post about our graphics card test bench. So. We talked about how I reviewed the Asus Strix card, and we have a bunch of other cards in that we'll be reviewing over the next couple weeks. And the biggest thing that I did was, for the longest time, our graphics card test bench was kind of just outdated. It was mainly just for lower-end cards or mid-range cards, and I really wanted to kind of take it to the next level and move up into the higher end cards, you know, all the flagship cards and all that. So the way to do that, obviously, is build a brand new test bench and make it a true test bench. Because before we were just testing it in a normal system with a case, this is a true test bench that I went ahead and built. So it's on the X99 platform. We used what we reviewed last week was the Li & Li PCT80 test bench. That's what I'll be using for that. Works really well. I have everything set up perfectly for it, so I can do temperature testing and all kinds of stuff. And with that, we've upgraded our testing suite as well. So obviously all the latest benchmarks, all of the latest games, all that kind of stuff, it's all in there. It's so we can provide the best review with, you know, 1080p gaming all the way up to 4K gaming. What we're going to be doing with every graphics card is that's how the tests are going to go.
Nice.
You know, just to provide the most detailed, in-depth, and best review for everybody else out there. That's kind of what my goal was with this. So I think it's pretty good. Like I said, I made a blog post about all the stuff that's in the system, and how we're going to be doing our testing as far as sound testing, power consumption, noise testing, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, definitely check out that blog post if you want to see what our test bench is about. And
stepping
it up. That was the whole plan. So hopefully it works out in that way.
Looks legit.
Yeah.
So, I have faith in you.
Yeah. So, like I said, over the next couple weeks, you'll see a lot of graphics cards reviews come out, and you can let us know how we did on them. And then we also have our Case Mod Friday, because today is Friday. And Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we highlight a case mod or a build that's been completed in the community and that we really like. And just it showcases what you can do with PC components and water cooling components and all that kind of stuff. And this week we have a build called Chessboard. And this is in the Case Labs SMA8 case, which is one of the biggest cases out there.
Yeah.
And the reason I like this build, just the tubing, they use rigid tubing, but just the way it looks, it kind of just looks like a, I don't know, like just.
Well, he went with like the vertical and horizontal lines for the most part. I think he's got one curved bit, but other than that, this is kind of a look that we've seen a few times, and it looks really, really good on these X99 boards with the dual channel memory, because you can have four water pipes running through the CPU into the RAM block. So that looks really good, and then you get contrasting horizontal lines on your GPU and throughout the rest of the system.
Yeah, it's just a really well done build, and this case is like perfect, I feel, for a big system, big water cooling system.
Yeah.
That's what these cases really are made for. So it just looks really, really good. He's gone with like a white
Stormtrooper design. Yeah. Black and white.
Yeah, black and white design. Just looks really great. Crazy water cooling. Like the amount of water cooling that's in here is just, I feel it's crazy overkill for the system, but it just looks really great.
Funny when you have that, when you put all of those radiators and stuff in there and you fill a case like that and suddenly you're out of room.
Yeah, and this case has to weigh a ton.
Oh, yeah. Probably in the 40-50 pound range, easy.
Yeah, for sure. He has dual Titans in there, or Titan X's, or Titans or Titan X's, I'm not sure. I think Titans.
Yeah. Either one is legit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's two Titans in there. So, I mean, yeah, it's a really just well-done system. And this isn't, this is a mod, but it's not as much of a mod as just a build, because, I mean, this is just what somebody got the parts and put together, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't really, I mean, there's some modding done as far as he cut holes in the case and things like that. But, I mean, you could put something like this together just with the parts. And that's what's great about showing these off is that, you know, if you're new to this, you can kind of see what's possible, you know, just with components. Just people who have done a really good job at putting things together and making it look good. And this person did that.
It's just being careful and with how you're building, essentially. Like being a tidy builder, and that's not anything out of reach for anyone. You can build something like this yourself.
Yeah, it just takes time. I mean, I review cases and I try to make them look as, you know, as tidy as possible. And it's all about just taking the time and routing your cables correctly and doing all that. And, you know, when it comes to water cooling, it's just like planning it out and making it look good and not, you know, cutting any corners or anything like that, and just taking your time to do it. That's what this build really shows off, and that's kind of why I featured it, was because it just kind of shows that. It shows that, you know, anybody can really do this if you take the time, you know, and it's just
and like, it's fun doing it, taking the time. I mean, it might sound slightly frustrating, but it's really not. It's a blast putting something like this together, and then you're done and you have something you can share with the community, you can have on your desk and really enjoy.
And the thing is, too, I think you take a lot more pride in it. I think when you build anything, you take a lot more pride in it. Like, if I just have a system, I'm just like, oh, whatever. You know, but if you actually take the time to build it, and especially if you're doing something like this where you're showing it off and everything, you have a lot more pride in it. And again, it's just something you can do for fun, and it's just a good, you know, it's just a good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely check that out. And again, we have a whole section of this. We have a whole section on the site called Case Mod Friday. So if you're looking to do a build, or maybe you want some inspiration or something like that, you can. We have tons of mods in there, tons of builds. Definitely check out that section of the site. And check out this one. Very, very well done. Yeah, we like I said, we feature one every Friday. Every Friday you'll get a new case mod out there. And if you are a builder, you're a modder, and you want us to feature your build, we have a section on the site, it's up the top, it says submit your case, and you can submit your case build to us, and we'll definitely feature it. So
sweet.
Yes. Now on to the news, and not a whole lot of news this week. We're kind of like in between time, I feel, between, I guess, after CompuDex and in before holiday season. The summertime is kind of slow for tech, but we have some cool things this week. The first one was actually kind of, well, it came out last week, but it wasn't really found out until the weekend. The new AMD drivers that came out last week, which we actually talked about on the podcast, they allow you to crossfire R9 200 series with R9 300 series cards. So this is pretty cool. So if you have an older card, you can actually put it in crossfire with a newer card. This has been available on previous drivers as well and previous cards. So it's just something cool. So, you know, you don't, if you have like an R9 290, you can, you know, obviously crossfire that with a 390.
It's kind of added value. You don't lose your old card essentially when you upgrade.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. So yeah, I like that. It's good that they put that in the drivers, and this driver update has actually been pretty good for them. Tons of, you know, optimizations and everything like that in the driver. So, but hopefully we'll see more driver updates on a more constant basis from AMD.
We can cross our fingers.
I know. So, yeah, definitely, if you have two cards, put them in crossfire, because, I mean, you can now.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're sitting there thinking you need to sell your old 200 series card, don't worry about it. You can still use it.
Yeah, you can still use it.
Especially since it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they are rebrands anyways, but if you're thinking about getting a new one, now you can crossfire and not have to worry about it, you know. And the newer cards, the Hawaii series cards, feature XDMA crossfire, which means you don't need the connector either. So it just does it through the PCI Express connection.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about any of that. Another AMD stuff is that AMD has confirmed in their Q2 earnings call that the Fury Nano, that's the card that I was most excited about when AMD announced it. That is their mini ITX Fiji-based card that will be launching in the August timeframe. So sometime in August, we will see that card. I'm really excited to see that. We'll see how well it does. I think a lot of people were disappointed with the Fury and Fury X performance compared to NVIDIA. But again, having such a small package, be interesting to see how it does. But that card.
Yeah, what level of performance do you think we need for this to actually be like worth anything?
What I haven't really looked. What is the actual Fury? Not the Fury X, but the Fury performing at?
Oh, it's right around 980, but it actually gets beat by 980 sometimes.
Yeah, so I think...
Actually, I think it gets beat by the 980 most of the time.
Oh, that's not good. This would have to beat the 970, I feel, because you can get the 970 in a very small form factor like this, too.
Yeah.
So I think either comparable or better performance than the 970, and this isn't going to be a good card.
Okay.
But if it's not, you know, if you're looking at it... If you're looking at a 960, then this isn't really, I don't know.
No, because you can get a tiny 960.
Yeah, you can get a 960 the exact same size.
Yeah, and you can get a 960 with a lot of memory too.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how this does. As we've always say is, wait until the card comes out, read the reviews, and see, you know, see what these cards do.
Yeah.
it's just exciting to see because it is such a small card. Small form factor cards are pretty awesome. Because yeah. they just jam everything in there and get it in a small form factor. I think this will open a lot of things up for small form factor design. But yeah, again, when it comes out in August, we'll have to see, you know.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah, something to definitely look forward to. So that is confirmed to be coming out in August by AMD CEO. So that is a good thing for AMD fans for sure. There's another AMD story which isn't so good. So AMD purchased ATI Technology about a decade ago for $5.6 billion. This was a huge thing when it happened.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And it was confusing.
Yeah, it was this huge deal. And now AMD is worth a quarter of that. A quarter of what they actually paid for ATI. Which is kind of sad. I think so many things have gone wrong for AMD since that purchase. Not only in their graphics card division, but as far as their processor division as well. Go ahead.
Well, it was like, it seemed to make sense, you know, because they were like kind of paired together. ATI and AMD, you know, you kind of ran them together because they were the cheaper, right? And then Intel and NVIDIA. So it kind of felt like it made sense, but like, it was like combining two companies that like weren't as competitive. Like, and how are they supposed to make both products? How are they supposed to make better products than their competition when you're already not doing it separately, when you're focused on separate products?
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. I mean, they basically gave up on the desktop processor,
On the desktop. Seems like it.
And they've gone through their whole APU thing, which really hasn't proven itself except for in, you know, like AIOs and things like that. It hasn't really been proven. Intel obviously is stepping up their game when it comes to integrated systems as well. You know, and then on the graphics card front, I mean, there's just been so many mistakes by AMD. You know, drivers, things not working. You know, even on the Fury, like, it doesn't support HDMI 2.0 or whatever. I forget which it doesn't support. It doesn't support it, so, like, you can't do... I'm losing what I'm saying here, but connect the card to a TV, like, it's not going to work at a certain frequency or whatever. But like, it's just like things like that. Like, how do you forget to do that? Like on a card or
like a standard feature essentially.
Yeah. And just like, you know, the 290 series was just, they ran so hot and they were loud. Like, if you listen to a stock, like, reference 290X running full steam, it sounded like a jet was about to take off. Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many things. And what's crazy is, like, it was a big deal back in the day. Like, ATI and NVIDIA, like, fought back and forth. Like, good.
Yeah, I know. They really did.
Especially the graphics card space. And then when it came to processors, even back then, like, my first computers that I built were AMD-based. Like,
yeah.
You know, for the longest time.
And I know it was a lot of price, but they really weren't, the gap wasn't there. The performance gap wasn't, it wasn't so dramatic. And AMD would even have faster chips, and ATI would have better cards. I mean, at a 1950 Pro, that's still one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's just like, when it comes to processors with AMD, like, look at the motherboards that are for AMD cards. Like, they're not... They don't even compare to the Intel-based boards.
They're not feature-based. Like,
yeah, it's just like they've kind of... AMD hasn't really worked with... Or, like, really pushed manufacturers to come out. You know, ASUS has a few that are pretty nice for AMD. But it's just like ever since... I don't know what chipset it was. Like, the last enthusiast chipset, really, for AMD. Ever since then, it's just been like, well, whatever. Here's a board. Here's, like... we'll put USB 3.0 on this, maybe. Like, that's
maybe.
That's the only new feature. It's just, like, they haven't... Because I remember, like, when I first started getting into computers, like, AMD was, like, the way to go. Like, their Athlon series and all that stuff. Like, you know, and the thing is, like, they said, oh, like, the, you know, the PC market's going down. But, I mean, look at, like, Intel... since that time, like, Intel and NVIDIA, they said Intel is worth 92 times more than they were 10 years ago, and NVIDIA is worth 7 times more.
So the decline in sales hasn't really affected them so much.
They're not they're not doing what they should be doing, I feel. I mean, again, I can't really speak on what's making them the most money or whatever, you know, because obviously we're not there.
Yeah.
And we don't know.
Or market analysts.
Yeah, or whatever. But it just seems like for the consumer-based products, which I feel that's a decent part of their market, and it's just like NVIDIA's taken over. They've done the right thing, you know, when it comes to graphics cards. And then when it comes to processors, Intel's just crushing it. And then Intel's even going in now. It's like with their integrated processors, you know, their SoCs, Intel has really did a big push into that. And they're taking all that market away from them too, you know?
There's not really any space where AMD is very competitive really at all.
The only thing
other than price.
Well, price and like their you know, their chips are used in the Xbox One, I believe PS4 as well, right?
Yeah, they both have GPU and CPU, I believe, are supplied by AMD.
Yeah, that's where they're making a good amount of their money. And even, 2 years ago when that was first announced, like, that was a big chunk of their earnings was that.
Yeah.
But it's just
I wouldn't want that to be a big chunk. I wouldn't want to have to rely on that.
That's the thing, too, is that's not – that market is like, okay, Xbox One comes out, a lot of people buy it, and then sales just decline and decline and decline until a new one comes out. It's not like
– And then are you going to be the one picked for the next console series, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you don't know, and it's just like – I really wish they would go back and, okay, we're going to have a consumer desktop processor group, we're gonna have a consumer desktop graphics card group, which I mean they do for that.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
But it's just like
neither one can be well funded though. Yeah. I think that's why we see such poor driver turnout, because they just probably can't afford the best software engineers for one thing. And they probably can't afford enough of them to compete with NVIDIA at getting drivers out.
I think the thing is they waste so much money on events too.
Yeah.
When Hawaii launched, they flew everybody. Well, not me, but they flew a lot of press out there.
Everybody but Bob.
They flew a lot of press out there on their own dime. You know, things like that. Which is just, and the Hawaii launch wasn't that great. I don't feel. to do that, you know, they did all that. All their events is just a lot of wasted money. You know, and things like that. If they would put out something, and even Fiji, yeah, Fiji's great and it's cool, but it doesn't beat a 980 Ti. It doesn't compete. It's like,
no, it had to win and it didn't.
Yeah, so it was like, again, another disappointment, because after their initial, you know, their press event and all that stuff, I was excited. I was like, wow, AMD is really doing this, like, you know, and I thought the position with the cards would be like the Fury X would be competing against the 980 Ti, the Fury would be competing against the 980, you know, and then the mini card that we just talked about would be competing against the 970, and it just hasn't turned out that way.
No, it's all like stepped down.
Yeah, and there's odd, like I said, there was the issue with the pump on the Fury X being really loud, which they did fix, but it was still there.
You don't launch with it like that.
There, all the controversy over some different, you know, some articles that a lot of people feel that AMD paid for good reviews, like. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that just they haven't done right. And it's sad, because I remember, you know, when I first started getting computers, like, it was like a war between AMD or between ATI and NVIDIA. You know, even at, like, it was such a war that there was, like, fights that would break out at different industry events between people from NVIDIA and ATI. And, yeah, if you Google that, you can find it. And, you know, being in the industry as long as I have, you hear stories and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's just no real competition anymore. It's just not.
And it sucks for everyone, because it honestly, Intel is just like dripping out product. Like, they're not doing what they can do, I feel. They're not giving, the commercial products are not the limit of what they're capable of.
Oh,
they don't
not
have
at
to.
All. And that's the thing, is like they can take their time on different things and they can, you know, they just
milk everything, essentially.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want, really. I mean, the amount of money they made this past year is just insane.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, and the thing is, they developed the technologies that are that. One thing that I've always liked about Intel is they developed the technologies that are used on their motherboards. You know, they developed Thunderbolt. you know, they develop, I don't know if they develop FireWire, but, you know, they develop these technologies, and they put money into the other technologies as well.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, and that's why their motherboards have these special features and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, I don't know. I mean,
what's AMD doing to compete?
Yeah, I mean, do you think AMD will even be here in 10 years? I don't know.
I mean, I think they will be, because Intel can't afford for them not to be because of, like, antitrust stuff. Like there won't be they have to have competition, right?
Yeah, I mean, legally. there's other people that make processors. I mean, AMD and Intel are the big two, but I mean, there's other people that make, I mean, you know, there's ARM processors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but for instance, Intel would not be allowed to buy AMD under any condition.
I don't even think they would want to.
No, but they wouldn't be allowed to, and so that's the same thing. They need them in the market, like, legally, so that they have competition, technically.
Yeah, I just think it's such a sad thing. I love competition, and competition brings better products.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when they're trying to beat out the competition,
in any scenario, really, competition brings better stuff.
Yeah, you just get better products. So we'll have to see, but that's just a sad.
It's a serious drop, though.
Yeah, I mean, you paid so much for a company, and you're not even worth, you know, you're worth a quarter of what you paid for that company in 10 years. That's bad.
It's $1.53 billion. That's so little, too. Yeah. Seriously. Like, for a company that should be that of that size, I suppose, that's so little.
Yeah, but like I said, we'll see how everything goes. We have another story, which is also... Oh, wait. Did I not... Oh, well, it's totally not there. what we should talk about, because this could be a good thing for AMD, is that AMD could, we're gonna move on to the next story because we can't talk about this. But AMD could have exclusive rights.
You've got it down there.
Yeah, it's down there. I don't know why I'd put it there, but AMD could have exclusive rights to the first wave of HBM2.
Right.
And that's a big deal. So high bandwidth memory, or HBM,
that is a pretty big deal, actually.
Is what's being used on the Fiji chips, and then the second revision of it, which will come out in 2016, NVIDIA had said they're going to use that on their Pascal based cards. Yeah. But just like with HBM1, that's why you don't see a lot of Fury X cards. That's why you don't see a lot of Fury cards out there, is because there's not a lot of HBM available. The yields are really low.
Right.
So with HBM2, we'll see a second generation of Fiji, and
faster.
Yeah,
and memory, better memory,
and more capacity on it as well. So with HBM2, it looks like AMD is kind of leveraging their deal that they have, and they might have exclusive rights to it, which means that Pascal could actually still be on GDDR5. And then when the second revision of Pascal will come out, it will be on HBM2.
Yeah.
That could be a big deal. That could be a huge deal for AMD as far as, like,
yeah, if AMD could get the rest of the card together, just like the Fury X, if AMD could get the card right, the memory could be what really pushes them to the next level.
Yeah, and it could be like, okay, well, we're the only company that offers a card. I mean, they're the only company now, but
card's not faster.
The performance isn't there. But with the next generation, and if they're the only company that has access to HBM2 at the start, that could be a really good thing for them. This could be a turnaround thing, but you don't know.
This is just rumor at this point.
Yeah, this is just kind of a rumor at this point, but it makes sense because they're the ones who adopted the technology first, so they might have first dibs on...
Yeah, it would almost be fair.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that goes. Obviously... you know, when HBM2 comes into more production, we'll probably get a lot more information when that comes out. But it is a very interesting story. You kind of want it to happen, to root for AMD, but at the same time, you're like, well, I wanted like a
a Pascal card.
Yeah, I want a Pascal card that has a high bandwidth memory. So you're like, you know, you're kind of torn between which one you want to root for.
I don't really want to pay for GDDR5.
Yeah, and the thing is, at that time, and like I said, with the 390Xs, we're already seeing 8 gigs on a card. I mean, these cards are going to be pretty big if we're not moving to HBM for NVIDIA. So we'll see. But yeah, definitely interesting story. We'll see how that goes. Obviously, closer to the end of the year, we'll probably have updates on this story, for sure.
Yep, so, looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I did want to talk about something that's really cool. It's just for me, I like them. Aqua Computer revealed their Radeon R9 Fury X full coverage water block, and we don't talk about this stuff a lot, but for me, I just like the way their water blocks look, all copper design.
Most of their blocks look really, really good with the window on it.
Yeah, with the window that shows the coolant in there and everything. I don't think they get a lot of coverage. They're not as available in the United States. Maybe that's why too.
I believe anytime they release, it takes a bit to get your product.
Yeah. So, but
they are a high end card or a high end block.
Yeah, it's a very nice block, all copper block. It just looks really great. And Aqua Computer has been around for a very long time. They've been around.
German based company, right? Yep.
Yeah.
They had a video out that showed the full process of building one of their blocks. I think it was for the 7 series, even a little. It was a little while ago, but it was. They have a really, really, really state of the art production facility, and it was really cool to see. If you check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, the reason why I just wanted to talk about this on the podcast is just because I think their blocks look great. I don't think enough people use them.
No, definitely not.
They're just really great, really great products. All around, all their products seem to be really great, and it's just. I don't know. I just like the way this looks. I decided we should talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
It looks really great. Definitely, if you want to cool off your R9 Fury X or any other graphics card, they make. I mean, for every card, they have a water block. So definitely,
yep. just like all the big names.
Yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out for sure. And we have some Z170 stuff, which you're pretty excited about.
Ooh. Yeah.
So MSI showed off their Z170 Crate gaming motherboard. So MSI has started this series called Crate. That's K-R-A-I-T. And that is kind of like their white and black, color design. So all of their... they have a couple graphics cards. They had a... I don't know if it's an X99 or a Z97 motherboard, Crate board as well, that has this kind of color design that's white and black. And they just showed off their upcoming Z170 Crate gaming motherboard. It looks really, really cool.
It does look really good. Kind of looks... I don't know if I want to... I don't want to say old school because like that makes me feel old, but it really kind of looks more like a design like... I don't know, like... Other, not necessarily computer products, but like other products we saw in like the late 90s, early 2000s, I guess, to me. It's got the feel of like, I don't know, maybe it's like the whole graphic that I'm looking at that just kind of feels cool to me.
It just looks really good. They've actually painted part of the PCB, which is something we haven't seen.
No.
You know, that makes it look really cool. Just the white and black look really, really good. The only thing that really kind of worries me about this board is that, do you see the SATA connectors, how they're not at a 90 degree angle?
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
That's the first thing I noticed about this, and I was like,
oh, why?
Your graphics card could block that, so...
Nobody does that anymore. They're all at a 90 now.
Yeah, so...
This isn't a small form factor board either, is it?
No, it's a ATX.
It's a full ATX board. Like, you see this sometimes on small form factor boards.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is about. Maybe the board comes with like 90 degree angle. Again, this is a render. This isn't, I believe, a photo. I believe this is a render.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure, but we'll see when these boards come out. And if they do, that's a really big mess slip. Up.
Yeah,
because this is designed for two graphics cards.
One goes dead over top of them.
Yeah, so I don't know what that's about. That's the only thing I see with this board. I haven't seen any of the other boards yet, so I'm not really sure. But
besides, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Besides that, this board has everything. You know, it's a gaming board, so it has killer E225 gigabit Ethernet, MSI's Audio Boost 3 audio solution, USB 3.0, all that kind of stuff. So Z170 is gonna be fun.
Yeah. You're going to be busy.
I'm going to be so busy with a lot of different boards. So we'll have to see. Maybe, like I said, that SATA port connection is a mistake on the board. I'm not sure.
Yeah. They do have the two lower ones. So, that, I mean, you're not completely out.
Yeah, that's SATA Express down there, though. So if you're using SATA Express, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see how that all goes with that. I'm not exactly sure. So, yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's just really weird to me. I'm just keep on looking at it. I'm just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, but it looks like it's. I told you it looked old school.
Yeah,
because that's like my first motherboard had vertical connectors.
Yeah. So we'll move on from there and talk about our good friends at Comcast.
Oh, this is other than Comcast. This is awesome.
They're not our friends, but
no,
at all.
I'm a customer, but they're definitely not my friend.
The other day, my internet went out like intermittently, just like the. Like my what's it called? Like my cable modem just like kept on resetting itself.
Oh really?
Like every 20 minutes, like on the dot. And I was like, "What the hell's going on?"
You were probably so pissed.
Because I'm trying to do stuff and like I'm trying to like put posts on the site and everything. Yeah. And like I get disconnected and I was like, "Oh, there goes my post. That's cool." You know. So, but anyways, Comcast announced their they first announced their 2 gigabit fiber It's called Gigabit Pro Fiber Series. They first announced it in April in Atlanta, but nobody really knew the price of it.
Yeah.
They've expanded it to San Francisco, Chattanooga, parts of Colorado and Oregon. And the price is $300 a month.
You're missing some places, Bob.
What do you mean?
Good old Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, I didn't look at the map.
Oh, yeah. Definitely getting the service in my area.
Are you going to get the service, though?
No. No.
So
go ahead and reveal the price.
Yeah, so it's $300 a month, $299.95, which isn't horribly expensive, but we'll talk about this in a second. So it's $299 a month, and then installation costs at least $500, if not more, because they have to bring the fiber to your house.
Yeah,
and then you have a $500 activation.
Why is there a $500 activation fee?
Wait, there's more, and you have to purchase your own equipment.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because leasing equipment from them is one of the biggest ripoffs.
Now, it's been said that if you do sign up, they'll give you like an early bird promotional price of $159.99 a month, which isn't horrible, but still. So on the other end, Google has their fiber service, which is 1 gigabit, and that's $70 a month. That's
much, much, much more worth it.
Yeah.
What is 2 gigabits? I know there are uses for it, obviously, and people will use it. But how do you sell this?
I just think it's not. I think you sell it to businesses. I think you sell it to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to be like doing some serious.
I think
up and down
sell it to maybe like apartment. Complexes that have like
they can sell it to their to their customers maybe
or something like that. I mean, yeah, 2 gigabit.
I guess I could see because I know that there's a number of people that actually run their own. Although I don't know if Comcast really wants to sell them this, but they'll run their own ISPs, and I guess this would get them a solid connection for not a terrible cost.
I mean, if the Google Fiber was available here, I'd get it. I mean, for
I would get the Google.
Yeah,
already pay that for Comcast.
Yeah, like I pay, I don't know what I pay, but I pay like 60 or 70 bucks for internet only. And it's like five up, five down. I mean, it's not. It's horrible.
That's sad.
Yeah, so it's like if the Google Fiber was, I'd call them today after we got on the podcast and be like, bring the shit. Let's go.
I'd be like, you can bring it and you can monitor my traffic. That's fine. You can data mine me. That's okay.
Yeah. So like if Google Fiber was available here, I'd totally get it.
Google Fiber is pretty limited though in its availability.
Yeah. So that's the issue with that. But
there's no way I would ever even consider getting this Comcast service though.
Yeah, I wouldn't get it.
Is that $159? Oh, that's promotional, so that's not even like locked in.
Yeah, so like you'll probably get that for 6 months, and then they'll bump you back up to $300.
To $300? No.
Yeah.
There's just no way. So you're probably gonna wind up spending a good $1,500 to get it working.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the equipment is probably in the 500 range.
Oh, and on top of that, it could take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks for them to install it.
Oh, by the way, it's going to take 2 months.
And you need to live within a third of a mile from Comcast Fiber Network to get residential service. So it's just...
This is just like a puff thing. Like, this is, like, just to say they have it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're also, they have to roll out the network to test everything. You know what I mean? Because as things get
early
bigger,
adopter cost.
Yeah, as things get bigger, as we're going to move towards, you know, going from 1080p to 4K, and then, you know, with Netflix and streaming and all that, you're going to need faster speeds eventually.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure.
So, but
for... It's funny because we've had, they laid the cable... They laid fiber in this whole area pretty much. I want to say over five years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I wonder why they're taking so long, I guess, to utilize it.
Probably because nobody wants it.
Yeah. I guess the need for the majority of the people don't have a need for it yet.
Yeah. So
future stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but it's good to see that maybe there's some competition to the Google Fiber. You know,
and then Verizon also has. I think theirs is like 170 for a gig a month.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I saw that somewhere. So this is actually cheaper at 2 gigs if you need 2 gigs than Verizon's is at 1 gig.
Yeah, there's no reason you need 2 gigabit. You don't need it.
No.
Yeah.
That's like the things you could do.
Yeah, so... But well,
the real truth is that, yeah, you have to be supported on the other end at that speed. So, I mean, if you're not getting... If your source isn't that fast, it's really still not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
So, if anybody's getting this, please comment. I want to hear.
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to know why you need it.
Why you need it and how long it took for you to actually get it once you made the call.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Please post.
Yes. But we'll move on from that. And Windows 10, which I'm running actually right now. But the Windows 10 RTM build was spotted. RTM is the release to market status. That means that the Windows 10 has stopped its development cycle as far as the retail product. So the retail product is ready. So it's the Windows 10 RTM build 10240. And that's what's going to be sent out to PCM OEM partners, physical media, and all that. So that's the version that you should get if you get the upgrade.
Nice. Thing. Step up.
Yeah, so are you going to be upgrading?
Yeah, I'm going to upgrade my Windows 8 laptop just to see.
Did you get in line?
No.
You should probably get in line.
I'm not in a hurry.
You know what? I saw this other story the other day. It was kind of funny. So, like, I signed up for the Insider thing.
Yeah.
To become a Windows Insider, you just sign up for it. So yeah. Everybody who's a Windows Insider who signed up and who installed Windows 10, which I did, you get pushed to the front of the line when it gets put out. So everybody who was like got in line like a month ago, like I just cut everybody.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, but yeah. So,
I'm sure you're not the only one either.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah. So RTM means that it's ready to go. And it comes out in what, next week or the week after?
29th. July 29th. That's two weeks.
2 weeks. So two weeks from now, you'll have it. I've been running it, like I said, for what a week now, and I really like it. I think I've had 3 updates already.
Really?
I put myself on the fat. Like, there's like a fast update cycle, and then there's a slower update cycle.
Like, wait till they get tested fully.
Yeah.
Cycle?
So I'm on the fast. It's called the fast ring or something like that. So okay. Like, I'm on that. So like, I've had 3 or 4 updates since I had it installed, which is a lot. But all it does is just like, it's just any Windows update. Like, it just restart. You know, installs the update, restart, and then you're on a new build. I like that so much. It's really cool. And again, you don't lose any of your stuff.
Are you letting it do a lot of the automated stuff?
I'm letting it do everything.
Oh, nice. How is that so far?
What do you mean?
Is it interrupting you? Is it causing any issues? Or is it just doing its thing and not bothering you?
It just does its thing. A lot of times, like, it will just do it at night. And, like, I'll wake up and I'll just log back in. You know? So, like, if I had anything open, it would kind of close it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I go to bed, I mean, I might have like Chrome open or something, like, but nothing that's like, you know, that I'm working on. I mean, all that stuff obviously gets saved. So yeah, it's just like any Windows update, really. It just kind of just does it. you know.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I really like Windows 10. I wouldn't see myself not using it now. It just works really well. So
I should probably get in line.
Yeah, I mean, you should. Because, like, on day one, everybody's going to be crushing the servers.
It's too late. I'm not a day one upgrader. Way too late for that.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I would definitely recommend it, especially if you're going from Windows 7, which I was.
Yeah.
If you go from Windows 7, it's like, it doesn't even feel like Windows 8 at all. You obviously don't have the Metro. You can set it to do that, but obviously, like, by default, mine didn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can go in the settings and have it do that. It just
log you into the tile thing.
Yeah, so it's so much better. Everything has worked really well on it. I haven't really had any issues really at all. Looks like knock on wood.
Like tomorrow it just crashes.
Tomorrow my entire system crashes and I lose all of my information.
Your computer starts on fire from some Windows error.
Yeah, so but no, it's been really good. I haven't had any issues with it whatsoever.
Cool.
So yeah, definitely excited for the final build and to see what it's all about. And
maybe I'll wait till Skylake is out and then I'll
yeah, that would then. Make sense. I mean,
it'd be fun.
Yeah, because I don't know how they're, what is it called? Like once you register, it's like locked to your computer, and if you change components, it. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, so you might want to.
The point value, how tight it's going
to
be.
Yeah, that's the only thing that you have to kind of worry about.
Because that's how it's been in the past. If you change each component as a certain point value, and if you build up too many points and changes, you can no longer use that version of Windows unless you call them and tell them it's the same. Which
yeah, that's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that. It's ready to go. It's coming. And we have some Intel news. The desktop, for high-end desktop and consumer desktop, the roadmaps for 2015 through 2016 were leaked. The most interesting thing about this is Broadwell E. So that is the 14-nanometer tapedown of Haswell E. And what's interesting is that it will come out in Q1. Which is usually weird. We see the yearly release, but I think just like how they did Broadwell and then Skylake comes out a month later, with this, I think they're going to roll out Broadwell Haswell E in Q1, and then in Q3, Q4, we'll see Skylake E.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing based on this roadmap.
So now I got to wonder, do I really want Skylake or do I want Broadwell E?
How much money do you want to spend? That's the thing.
Yeah. Do I want to double my cost?
Yeah, because I mean, you're still getting an X99 motherboard. You know, you're going to need quad channel memory on top of that.
Yeah.
And the processor, the
cheapest one is usually like $600.
Yeah, the Core i7. What is it? The 5820K or
yep.
Yeah, I don't know how much that even is.
I think it's 5 something right
and
now.
And that processor is kind of pointless, especially because it only gives you 28 PCI Express lanes.
It's not even a full.
Yeah, so you would want the 5930K, you know.
Yeah, I guess I should probably really start thinking about what kind of build I want to make. Because, I mean, if I want to run Quad SLI again, Broadwell makes sense.
Because you play so many games.
Yeah, that's so many games.
But also,
you know how much fun it is to put a quad SLI system in your SIG on mod sites, though? That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. But anyways, the one thing that was released as well as this roadmap was the Broadwell E platform detail. Pretty much the same as Haswell E. Obviously, it's the 14-nanometer tape down. And, you know, the processors will be 8 and 6 core versions, up to 20 megabytes of Intel Smart Cache. Of course, supports Intel Turbo Boost 2, hyper-threading, supports overclocking, 4 DDR4 channels with DDR4 2400 native. So that is pretty cool. So that brings it up from 2133 to 2400 natively.
Clock step.
Yeah, so... but yeah, it will still all the new Broadwell E will run on the X99 chipset, so you won't have to buy a new motherboard or something like that. All of the motherboard manufacturers will have a BIOS update that will support these processors when they come out.
Will we have an 8-core with hyper-threading?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you'll have a theoretical 16-core chip.
Yeah, that's what I have. That's what.
Okay, that's what you're running now.
That's what the 5960X is that I have right now. It's pretty badass. That's what we run in the X99 system in our graphics card test. But
okay, so your encoding is really quick.
Yes, extremely, super super fast.
Nice.
So yeah. This is coming again. I think the biggest thing with this story is that Broadwell E, if it launches in Q1, that means we'll have Skylake E in Q3 or 4, which is quite exciting. I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is what's coming. And then our final story is a story that was kind of going around. We'll kind of preface the story, is that at Computex, Thermal Take was showing off some new cases, and a lot of people had said they were ripoffs of Case Labs cases, which did have some credibility. They looked the same, completely different internally, but externally they looked kind of the same. And then everybody kind of went on this big tear about Thermal Take and how they rip off everybody's products. And there was there was some good examples, there were some horrible examples, and a lot of people didn't know the facts. One of the examples was a CPU block, which was OEM'd. Anyways, so anybody could make that block. A lot of the products were really far-fetched as far as copying designs. A lot of people just went on this big hate thing against Thermal Take.
As the internet does.
Yeah, as the internet does. And then the thing that really kind of changed my mind on it was, so there's the Case Labs case that everybody thought that they copied, and then somebody showed a case that looked exactly the same from, I don't know who it was, from like 1998.
Yeah, that was what did it for me.
Yeah, that looked exactly the same, and it's like, this happens not only in the PC industry, but any industry. Just look at it. I mean, look at cars. I mean, you see like the Hyundais that are made to look like Mercedes, you know, or like the, I remember when the original Chrysler 300M or what was it called?
300C.
Or whatever came out. Oh, it looks like a Phantom. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's made to look like these cars. I mean, that's what it is. But if you think about it too, is that, all these cases, they all look the same, but internally, it's different.
You know what I mean? There's only so much you can do aesthetically with the exterior of a case, and a lot of it comes down to the functionality of the case. And
yeah, and the thing is, too, is that I don't know how much Thermal Take is going to be selling those cases for, or whatever it may be, but I think that if you're buying a Case Labs case, how much does it cost? They're very expensive.
$4, $5, $6,
$7. Yeah, like, yeah, they're very expensive.
Extremely
cases.
Expensive.
If you're, if you're going to get a Case Labs case, you're going to get a Case Labs case.
Yeah, you don't buy it because of what it looks like.
Yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to get that case. You know, if you're wanting to save money, you're going to get the Thermal Take case. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But I think Case Labs had could legitimately question it. But what they did is the owner's son came out and made this big post on Facebook, this massive post, and then a bunch of other sites, you know, kind of took that, you know, quoted that post and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people, again, came out with all these different comparisons and how they copied things and all that. And I think at the end of the day, you have to realize this is business, it's competition. It sucks, but at the same time,
if it was truly ripped off, Case Labs would be suing Thermal Take.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of it.
Yeah. So all that happened, and that was like a month ago or something along those lines. And then Case Labs just yesterday issued an apology, saying they retract all their statements. They don't actually even own any patents on any of their products.
No.
So
they have nothing to talk
about. Yeah, so even if Thermal Take copied the entire case as down to the internals, they couldn't do anything.
Talk about not protecting your intellectual property.
So they made this statement, and they said they regret all of their statements. And
you don't win this by going public and saying, look at them, they stole. You win this by continuing to build probably some of the best cases in the computer industry.
Yeah.
And you don't worry about it.
And the thing was crazy is, like, so I forget which the the suppressor F50 or the one suppressor case we said, everybody's like, oh, that's a ripoff of a Fractal design. Yeah. I also reviewed the Fractal design. The Thermal Take case is better. Like, it has better features, in my opinion. Like, and it's more silent, too. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, they might look similar or whatever, but it performance-wise, it's better, actually.
As with any industry, there's certain trends.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sell things, you have to kind of follow those trends. That's the way it works.
Yeah, so that was kind of the big, you know, a month ago, or that was kind of a big story. And this kind of gives vindication to some people, you know, on the Thermal Take side that were blamed for certain things. And, you know, their name was kind of smeared. But it kind of sucks because it was already out there.
Yeah, it's just, the publicity part of it's done.
I wish we had that picture. I wish it was like a video podcast and we could show the picture that somebody posted of that case from like 1998 that looks exactly like an... identical to a Case Labs case, more or less.
That's the truth of it. Is none of this, almost none of what we're playing with as hardware enthusiasts is entirely original. Ever at this point.
I think with any product, it's like nothing is super original.
Yeah. You know, humans have been around making things for just too long now.
Yeah, that's just how it is. You know, it's not often we see that much originality. You know, and I think anybody could say, you know, if you saw the cases, you could say, oh, look, they took what Case Labs did and made it cheaper. You know, but again, if you're buying a Case Labs case, if you're willing to spend $400, $500, you're going to buy the Case Labs case. That's just how it is.
There are other large cases out there. There already have been. You buy a Case Labs, you buy the name, kind of, and you buy it because it's an incredibly well-built case. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's just how it is. But it's good that all this was kind of resolved because nobody really knew what was going to happen. People were saying, oh, Case Labs is going to go under. They're not. You know what I mean? Like, they have their client base, and their client base isn't going to buy a Thermal Take case. That's just...
No, I mean, it's like below them.
Yeah, that's just like if I always drove a Mercedes, I'm not going to buy a Chevy. Like, it's just not going to make sense to me.
You're not going to suddenly buy that car that looks kind of similar.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just I'm not going to – if I have a Mercedes and they have like a Hyundai that's made to look exactly like it, why would I buy the Hyundai? Like,
it's still a Hyundai.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's not – that's how this is. So it's good this came out. It's good that everything was, you know, kind of, I guess, figured out. A lot of people still hate Thermal Take. A lot of people still hate Case Labs for certain things. You know, the internet is going to handle it the way they have. yeah.
It's just the way people are. We love sensationalist news, I guess.
Yeah. So that everybody likes drama. Everybody likes, you know.
Yeah.
All that kind of
stuff. I'm sure it would have been incredibly interesting to be at Computex this year.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting thing for sure. Because that's when all this came out. So, So all this is kind of behind us now. Hopefully,
yes.
We'll still have a lot of this now because it was brought to light, and then everybody wanted to make their different opinions about the different products that look like, oh, they look like this, they look like that, you know. It's good that this was kind of resolved.
Yeah, so. Thanks for all of your opinions. Back to computing, please.
Yes. So that is it for our news. I didn't think there's a lot of news, but we've been talking for a while.
Yeah, we should shut up.
No, it's good. It's good that we actually have like good news that we can actually like have a conversation, especially like the AMD stuff for sure. You know, so next week we have some stuff.
I will be taking. What do you got, Bob?
I have the Sapphire Tri-X R9 390X graphics card. So this is the Sapphire's take on the 390X. This uses their Tri-X cooler.
Looks massive.
It's a massive card. I have it in the test bench right now. I'm not going to give away that much about it, but it's a nice looking card. You know, 390X, that you know what it is. It's a Hawaii rebrand, but it does have 8 gigs of VRAM, so that should help out in 4K benchmarks, which we will show you.
You got that 4K monitor in the test rig now.
Yes. It's actually really nice. It's sad that it just sits there, though.
Yeah, it's sad a little bit.
Yeah. So, and then I'll also be taking a look at the Gigabyte X99 SLI motherboard. This motherboard's really cool because it's basically almost just like the X99 UD4, but it's made to be extremely, extremely less expensive. So all of the, not high-end features, but like the lights that are on the UD4 have been taken out. The some of the other features have been taken out. It's just made to get you into the X99 platform. And that's kind of the biggest thing about it. It's just made to get you into the X99 platform at a very low cost. So it's going to compete with the Asus's X99A, all the other entry-level motherboards. This is made to compete with that. So
which you've tested most of them.
Right? Yeah, which I've tested most of them. So this comes in at a very low price point. And it just gets you into the X99 platform. It doesn't have, like, again, the lights or any of the cool features of the... the UD4, which I actually reviewed, doesn't have any of those features, but it just gets you there. A lot of people don't even care about that stuff, so why pay the extra money for it?
Yeah. If you're one of these people that just you build your system, you don't do cable management or anything like that,
yeah,
you can't see inside your case, it sits under a desk, this is probably for you.
Yeah, so it's just the entry-level board. So I'm excited to take a look at that. Just did the unboxing the other day. So we'll have that. And then I would take it. I was supposed to finish it this week, but I didn't get to it because all the graphics card stuff was the Deepcool Assassin 2. That's their high-end air cooler, dual tower, dual fan, really, really massive CPU cooler. Yeah. So I'll be getting that in the system this week and doing all of the testing for that. And then talking about Deepcool, we reviewed their Captain 240, which you reviewed, and it was one of the worst coolers that we reviewed.
Yeah.
They had... thought it was the sample, so they sent us another one, and you did all the retesting, and we'll have that article up next week. I don't know if you want to reveal if it did better, it did worse.
It did do better, which is good for them. The performance was so poor that it's like, okay, how could it not do better? But it did a good amount better. It's worth reading the re-review, if that's for sure. Interesting that we actually saw some hardware changes, so I'll touch on that in the article. Nice. Between the two. So it's also tough to say like what actually gave us the better results necessarily, but I'll leave that up for you to decide after the re-review.
Nice. So yeah, that's the stuff that we have coming up next week. We might have some more stuff thrown in there, depends on what I get done, if I'm not bogged down testing all these graphics cards and all of that stuff. So at the end of each podcast, we like to talk about if we did anything this week. So did you do anything cool? Check out anything cool?
Not really. I worked on that Deepcool, and pretty much that was it this week. Pretty boring, pretty busy.
Yeah.
Work stuff.
Yeah, same here. Like I said, the biggest thing I did this week was put together that graphics card. And we completely redid the graphics card testing. So we posted the first review, which was that GTX 970 from Asus. And each review now has, I think it's 34 graphs. So like making the spreadsheet for that it took me forever.
I'm sure it did.
I was like wired on caffeine, like trying to put the whole thing together, like how I'm gonna do this and
get all. Now you're probably the spreadsheet master.
Well, yeah, and then I have all of the tests like down to like a science, because you have to go in and be like, okay, what settings am I gonna put for each test? What am I gonna do for the 1080p, the 1440p, yeah, the 4K. So going through and doing all that for the first time, and then how am I going to do the sound testing? It was a lot of kind of figuring everything out for the first time. So like
first time
the first troubles. Review took me so long to do, and not that it was a pain in the ass, but like just getting everything together and making all the graphs and doing it all was just a lot of work this week. But I'm glad I did it, because now kind of rolling through all the rest of the reviews is going to be a lot easier. And since we don't have a driver update yet, I don't have to retest all the cards, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so it's good. I actually
hoping NVIDIA goes like AMD and doesn't.
No, no. I mean, you're going to have it, you know. But that's the thing, too, is with this, is that we'll be retesting every card when there's a new driver update, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, it's cool. And like I said, it got me to check out some games. GTA 5, I've been playing a little bit. That's just all around fun. Yeah, so it's been cool. It's been a cool week testing all that stuff, and I'll be testing cards all weekend as well. So that's basically it for our podcast. Oh, I wanted to we talked about I wanted to tell you this like the other day, but I never told you. I might as well just tell you on the podcast, because we talked about it. We had talked about Halt and Catch Fire. Which is a really cool show. What is it on? A&E, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on A&E. And it's about the PC industry in the 1980s. And I have to say, you really need, and Derek only watched the second season. You really need to go back and watch the first season, because I started watching the second season. The first season blows it out of the water.
Oh, so really?
You have Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on Netflix.
I'll get on it.
And watch the first season, because it is epic.
I gotta wait for the Tour de France to finish, though, because that's like all my viewing time right now.
Gotcha.
And then I'll check it out.
But yeah, definitely, if you guys haven't checked out that show yet, definitely check it out as well. So that is basically it. Until next week, catch you guys later.